We are picking up here in the story of David. This is the conclusion of the David and Goliath story. So we have been 3 weeks leading up to this being week four. This is not the end of our David series. This is rather the end of our series within a series, or a series inception, whatever you might want to call it. On your way in, some of you might have picked up an additional sheet of paper with your bulletin on the back. There's just some very short sermon notes, if you want to use that. But today we're reading from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 41 through 58. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron, so that the wounded Philistines fell on the way from Shearim as far as Gath and Ekron, and the people of Israel came back from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their camp. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. As soon as Saul saw David go out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." And the king said, "Inquire whose son the boy is." And as soon as David returned from the striking down of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of your servant, Jesse, the Bethlehemite." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you that you have allowed us to gather here this morning, that you have called us into a relationship with you. And we pray this morning as your sons and daughters that you would help your truth to come alive in our hearts and minds, that you would help us to have courage as we face our giants, knowing that you are the victor. We thank you. We praise you. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Throughout the story of David so far, one of the things that we have looked at is how the way that humans view things is so often different than the way that God views things. From the beginning of David's story, even, Samuel, thought that his older brother should have been making. The Israelite people chose Saul because Saul was a tall, strong warrior of a king. You know, we have this lengthy description of Goliath and how fearsome that he might be. And then all of our descriptions of David, and we see it again in this passage, is that he's young and handsome and small. And so this interesting parallel of this outward appearance. And really, our main focus today is going to be on the interaction between this young, handsome man and this giant warrior of a man, the things in which they say to one another. And so as David approaches Goliath, you know, we have this description of him that he's ruddy and handsome, which seems complimentary, and it is. And it will play a role in David's story later. But here, Goliath sees it almost as an insult. You know, they're sending, you know, this pretty boy, you know, out to meet me. You know, where's the warrior? And so Goliath, he's furious. He's like, is this a joke? Are you making fun of me? Do you not realize how serious that this is? I am going to destroy you. And David, you know, he curses, or Goliath, he curses David with in the names of his gods, of Dagon. And it really, Goliath is proclaiming himself what this battle is really about. These false gods versus the living God. The two powers. David is the one that puts these two powers into perspective for us. It says, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. And so David, he's saying, you know, you think that you are so fearsome that I should be afraid of you because you're this giant of man wielding this giant sword and this giant spear. But I come in the name of God, creator of the universe, God Almighty, the Alpha and Omega, versus a sword, no matter how big, perception shifting. And then David, he goes on to this indictment, or this, saying, you have mocked God. You have mocked the God that you are about to fight today. It is you who should be afraid, not me. Because David understands that it's not him. It's not him fighting the battle, but that he goes out really as the Lord's instrument. That it is God using David to accomplish his purposes. And so David, he says to Goliath what the real battle is, the two powers. And then he accuses Goliath. He says, this is what you are guilty of. And so therefore, this is what is going to happen. You're going to lose. Really, not only are you going to lose, but all of the Philistine army is going to fall today because of what God will do. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Goliath's probably thinking, yeah right. like, that's not going to happen. But for those of us who know this story, those are some pretty powerful words. David proclaiming what is going to happen. Especially, you know, so if you don't know the story, David doesn't have a sword. And so saying that he's going to, you know, not only win the battle, but then cut off this giant's head, it seems miraculous. So we have the two powers, the indictment, the what will happen, and then comes the purpose behind the victory. It says that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. So David recognizes that it's not about him. It's not even about the nation of Israel. That God is doing this in order that he, God, might be glorified. This is a reoccurring theme throughout all of Scripture. That God does these amazing things through insignificant people over and over and over again, not for the benefit of those insignificant people, but that so that we might see his greatness and worship him. So David's message for Goliath is, I come in the name of the Lord. You have mocked the Lord. I will destroy you, and the world will know who God is. And then it happens. The two engage each other. You know, they move forward in battle. Goliath is charging forward, and David takes a stone, slings it. And this is, it requires skill to sling a stone accurately. This is not just like a childhood slingshot. I mean, this is a sling that was designed for killing. But nonetheless, I mean, what a shot. To hit Goliath square in the forehead and to knock him down. And then, as Goliath falls, David comes forward and he cuts off his head, just like he said he was going to do. You'll notice that what didn't happen, though, is that even in the story here, is that there was no sword in the hand of David. That David didn't win by a sword. Really, David didn't even win by a stone. Because remember, David didn't win. God won. God is the victor in this story. It was not an ordinary victory. It wasn't luck. It wasn't by chance. It wasn't by David's skill. No, this was by divine appointment by God that this took place. So the reaction of the Philistines as they see this happen, they see this little boy, maybe a teenager, standing on the field. They thought they knew the outcome. They probably were preparing themselves to look away from this giant of a man killing this teenage boy. Nobody wants to see that. But instead, their eyes are drawn to the middle of this battlefield where this teenage boy is holding this giant of a sword and cuts off this giant's head. And they are filled with fear and they flee. And so the Israelite army now stirred up, as rightly they should be. They pursue them and they go after them. But we see here how even now, this giant of an army, this Philistine army, isn't able to live up to their promises. Because Goliath came out day after day and he said, if somebody defeats me, we will become your servants. Even in the giant's defeat, the lies are exposed. And they flee. So this unusual expression that David said, when I come in the name of the Lord, appears once again in the Old Testament. It's in Psalm 118, verse 26. And it says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And then Psalm 118 appears a number of times in the New Testament, but maybe most notably in Jesus' approach to Jerusalem. In Matthew 21:9, it says, "And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!'" It says, "The time for Jesus' death drew near. He lamented over Israel and he said, 'For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" So David in this story, he said he was the one who came in the name of the Lord to deliver Israel. But the purpose of David's story, again, was not about David. It wasn't about Saul. It wasn't about Goliath. It wasn't even about the nation of Israel. It was this declaration of what was to come. That God is a God who overcomes every single giant that stands in the path of his path. And that as God calls his people forward, that he will lay aside every single giant that steps in their way. So as like so many stories in the Old Testament, the story of David is meant to point us straight to Jesus. To look, to see who ultimately is the one who would come in the name of the Lord and defeat the greatest giant that has ever been, the giant of sin and death. You know, many of you and myself, you know, we struggle. Lifetimes of sin, generations of sin, generational sin. We suffer the sins of people around us. We look at a world that is often bleak. Sin is apparent all around us. And at times we think, will this ever end? Will we ever be able to defeat this? Will I ever be able to overcome this? And the story of David and Goliath is meant to reassure us that yes, you will. Yes, you can. Because Jesus Christ, the one who comes in the name of the Lord, has come to defeat the greatest of all giants. And in fact, he has. He has already won. And we need to stand and claim that victory. So on your sermon notes, you have those letters going down that spells out David. So they stand for divine appointment. Victory is definite. Divine appointment, victory is definite, is the David. So in other words, if you have been called to do something in the name of the Lord, you will be victorious. Now please hear me here. This does not mean that everything that you set out to do in life will be successful. This does not mean that life will always be easy or good. It doesn't mean that you'll always have the things that you need to have, or that you will somehow escape tragedy or persecution or sword. But what it does mean is that if God has called you to do something, that you will be victorious in it. Because just like David, it's not about you. It's about God. And he is victorious. The Goliath. Going out alone is a terrible habit. Going out alone is a terrible habit. But we are so frequently guilty of it, are we not? In fact, we live in a culture that encourages it. You know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Work harder. Do more. Overcome, really on your own power. And the Bible is continuously reminding us that that is not the way that it is meant to be done. That rather, we are to admit just how weak that we are and to lean more deeply into the arms of our Savior and to allow Him to conquer for us. David said that the purpose for his defeat of Goliath was so that everyone in the nation of Israel would know that there was a God. You know, this isn't the only giant that David faced. Really, as you look at the story of David, in 2 Samuel, he faces, you know, again, literal giants. But he faced, you know, other giants as well, giants of his own sin, giants of, you know, family challenges. And each time that, as David overcomes these giants, it is for the purpose of God being praised. And likewise, as you face the giants of your life, and you see God being victorious in that, the purpose behind it is so that God will be acknowledged and be praised. And so, friends, if you have stories of how God has overcome the giants in your life, those are worthy to be shared. Not to, you know, toot your own horn or to say, look how holy that I am or how close I am to God, but that so God might be glorified in what He has done in your life. You know, last week we heard an incredible testimony. Rich shared his testimony and it was fantastic. And you might think, well, my testimony, it looks nothing like that. No, it doesn't, because God loves each of us as individuals. And so your story might be different, but it is no less powerful because it is the same God behind each and every story in this room. And just because you think that you might be insignificant doesn't diminish that God is almighty and powerful and that the way that He moves and works is always almighty and powerful. And so, friends, my encouragement for you, in a world full of Davids and a world full of Goliaths, declare boldly the victories that you have seen God winning in order that the world might see Him. Share the way that God is moving and working the world around you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much. We thank You that we don't have to fight these battles alone. And in fact, You've already won. We thank You so much. And we praise Your holy name. Amen.